Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Everybody, and welcome to episode 303 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today I'm here with Terry Cadera. Terry lives in St. Charles, Missouri, and she has an in-home daycare where she watches teachers' kids. And I was just telling Terry before we started recording that that sounds like an amazing way to fill a home daycare. And all of my friends here are teachers. Wish we had someone like you when our kids were little.
Oh, well, it's great. I really enjoy it.
I bet. And those kids are going to grow up together, those teachers' kids, because I can remember my boys before they got kicked out of that one daycare. Cal was already through it. But, you know, there were a lot of teachers' kids in that he got to know through daycare. And there were a lot of teachers' kids the same age. And as they came up through, you know, and even when we moved, as those kids grow up together because they're the ones hanging out at the school. So they're right. Forming their lifelong friendships at your house that will continue.
Right. I have several groups. I really love to get babies. It sounds crazy when they're like, 8 to 12 weeks that I want 3 babies. But I've had several sets of kids like that, and they are now in elementary, high school. They stayed friends. And it's a cool thing.
That's true. It really, really is. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
It was 2020, August of 2020. We talked a little bit. I got thrown into dog training, and I don't train other people's dog. I do help if somebody needs help, but I got thrown into it because I had a bratty little dog. I'm a problem solver, and she needed training. And so I dove in, And I found a trainer who I connected with as far as his ideas about how to train. And I just loved they always put the dogs first. And that was important to me. What was best for them, I should say, first. He has social media. I followed all that. But I loved that I could go to YouTube and you can search. His name's Larry Crone. And I could search Larry Crone and then whatever the issue would be. Like I could say Larry Crone, separation anxiety, or whatever it was. And so one day I'm scrolling, he has so many videos, and I just see that he's like sitting at his kitchen table. And I'm thinking, huh, I wonder what that is. I click on it and it's a video of him saying, hey, everybody's been asking me what I've been doing to lose weight and get in shape. So I just thought it'd be easier instead of answering all these messages, I would just do a video.
So Larry Crone, the guy you discovered for his dog expertise, suddenly drops that he's an intermittent faster. So what kind of stuff was he saying about it? What was he putting out there into the world?
He was saying that he stumbled on it or he started because he had a lot of stomach issues after being diagnosed with Lyme disease and had to take all kinds of, I think he said antibiotics, but he said lots of medications, and he's assuming that that wrecked his gut, and he was kind of looking to find some solutions to all the stomach problems he was having, his doctors wanting to take his gallbladder out. And as soon as I heard that, I had just been to the doctor the week before because of very similar issues that he was talking about. You know, my gut wasn't wrecked because of antibiotics. I really don't know what caused the issues I was having, but it sounded similar to him. And my doctor had just told me, we're going to run some more tests, but we may have to take your gallbladder out.
Ooh.
I know. And I'm just not somebody who, I really don't go to the doctor. I mean, I go once a year, but I don't go when I feel bad. I don't know. I just don't do it. And I'm thinking, well, I certainly don't want to have surgery. His other alternative was, well, in the meantime, you might just have to take Prilosec for the rest of your life. And I'm thinking, no
definitely not. No, I've read such terrible things about long-term use of those.
Says, you know, I don't remember what it says, you know, the protocol, maybe 2 weeks. So I'm like, what? And I think I had already tried it. So thank God that it didn't help me at all because I probably would have done it just to get some relief. But he said, oh no, you know, I take it every day.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh Lord. So, and I don't like the idea of taking something for the rest of my life anyway, if I can avoid it. So when I heard him say, Larry say this, I started Googling intermittent fasting. I put a post up on Facebook. Hey, do any of my friends intermittent fast? So that brought a bunch of comments. But the dog trainer, Larry, he drank bulletproof coffee.
Uh-huh.
And yes.
Oh, Larry.
I know, right? He had a lot of success. He's a big workout guy too. And so I did like, and you would probably like it too. I don't know if I remember the whole thing, but I know he was saying how he loved working out fasted and how he built so much muscle. And, you know, that was all a positive thing. But then it got me to everybody that commented on my post on Facebook. None of them were clean fasting. None of them. So I did do the bulletproof coffee, like my own, you know, I made it myself just with, I think the butter was just too gross. I think I did coconut oil, but yeah. I did that for not very long. And for the life of me, I don't know how I found you, probably in my Googling of intermittent fasting. I'm sure you came up, and then I read Delay, Don't Deny, and eventually read Fast, Feast, Repeat. But Delay, Don't Deny, I pretty much had it down after that. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to clean fast. I don't know how much weight I lost dirty fasting, but I did lose some weight and I saw definite results. And within 2 days, even dirty fasting, my stomach issues were gone.
That's amazing.
I had battled it for 20 years or more. Wow. And there was no rhyme or reason to it. You know, I would always think, is it, and what it was really more what I would call not heartburn so much. Maybe that was occasional, but it was like indigestion. And I think I heard one of your guests say just maybe very recently, I don't remember how they described it, but like maybe like a sluggish digestive system.
Yeah.
Something like that, because I feel like that is what helped me, letting my stomach rest. I was a snacker. I was eating all the time. Even if it was like one cashew. You know, I was putting something in my mouth a lot during the day. I think I started with 16-8 in just 2 days of 16-8. And I was good. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night, Jen. I would lay down and my stomach, it just felt like mostly like gas pressure, like my stomach.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was just too much in your system, I guess, right? If you think about our digestive system as like a tube. I mean, it's more complicated than a tube, but think about it from your mouth to your backside. And, you know, it can get all backed up in there. And then just the pressure from the too much in there, it needs time to just come on through and rest.
Yes. And I remember my husband, it would go in cycles, which is weird. I don't really know what that is either. I mean, it would bother me for maybe, let's say, 2 weeks to a month. And then it wouldn't bother me again for a little while, you know, a month or two. And then it would start back up. And I mean, this years and years. So logically, you would think, my husband would say, if we'd lay down in bed, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'd have to sit up. And he'd say, oh my gosh, what could it be that you ate? He always tried, and I did too, but I could eat salad one day and be fine. The next day I could eat it and I would be in pain. It just didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a salad, a roughage, you know, it just didn't matter.
So you couldn't make a connection between what you were eating and the pain.
No, and I honestly still can't. I think it really was just, like I said, my system needed a break.
I'm certainly no gastroenterologist, but I wonder if it was something like a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, I think they call it. You know, that can cause a lot of coming back up out of your small intestine. Like I said, I'm definitely not an expert, but gut rest can help with all sorts of things like that.
Right. It was definitely frustrating because my doctor, I never really felt totally heard. Like they would always say like heartburn. And I would say, well, it's not really heartburn. You know, that's not really what it is. Although I did have a situation like that where I had some bad heartburn. And honestly, I thought I was having a heart attack. My husband wanted me to go to the emergency room. And I don't suggest this to anybody, but I just don't like to do that. I know you sit there and wait and wait. And so I seriously begged him, please do not make me go. This was like at 11 o'clock at night. I said, I swear I will call the doctor tomorrow. I will get in there. And that's what started like a whole battery of tests the summer before I started fasting. That whole summer, they did ultrasounds. I don't even remember what all they did to me. And they never could find anything. But I did have to do a stress test. And I mean, I went through EKG. My heart is perfectly healthy. So it definitely was, you know, heartburn, indigestion.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember having heartburn. Only that kind of heartburn when I was pregnant.
And it was
miserable. It really does feel burning, like it's burning up in your chest. But definitely do not hesitate to go to the emergency room.
Exactly. Don't take my advice with
that. I'm laughing because I'm the same way. Look, when you were talking before about not wanting to have your gallbladder out, I'm like, look, I came into the world with all these organs. I feel like I should leave with them too.
Yes. Yes.
And obviously some things need to come out, right? But I share that same kind of philosophy about not wanting to do things that could be avoided, right? If I can manage it through lifestyle, diet, then I would much rather do that.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yes.
So you started off, you were doing 16-8, but very quickly you moved to the clean fast. So how long did you keep doing 16-8? Is that where you settled or did that change?
I would say within a couple weeks, whenever I found the clean fast, even the 16-8 wasn't horrible. I mean, I would say maybe some days felt like white knuckling at the beginning, but I really think I was fat adapted pretty quick, if not already, because I really tried not to eat a lot of carbs typically if I could resist. So I don't think I was maybe somebody starting out at square one having to take, you know, 30 days to get fat adapted. I moved pretty quick to 19.5 once I was clean fasting. That was not hard. And I mean, I tell everybody, I'm like, I know you hear this all the time, but I'm like, if I can do it, anybody can, because I was a huge breakfast person. I know you weren't, but I cared about that more than the cream in my coffee. And I ate healthy breakfast. I would get up and make a vegetable omelet every morning. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But yeah, so I thought, and I loved my breakfast. So, I mean, my husband knew I was serious when I was not up cooking my food in the morning.
I remember going through phases of breakfast, like whether it was going to be the drive-through breakfast or if I was trying to eat a little healthier. But one of my favorite breakfasts before teaching, back when I did like to eat breakfast before fasting, I would have toast with fried egg on top. That was my favorite.
Oh, that's my husband.
And I still will eat that now, like in my eating window, though. You know, it's a good way to open. I love eggs on toast.
Yeah, I love breakfast. We have it for dinner a lot. I just had like a veggie omelet last night. Yeah.
Yum, yum. Breakfast for dinner, you still get to have your favorite food. So you work with kids all day. You know, you've got your in-home daycare. You're working with food, with the kids, feeding them, they're snacking. How does that fit in with your fasting schedule and your 19-5?
It's never an issue for me to my kiddos, they bring their lunch, but I provide snacks. And so I have goldfish, pretzels, you know, just all kinds of snacks. And one thing I did notice as soon as I started fasting is how I would just grab a handful of goldfish. Just, I don't even know why. I wasn't hungry. It was just because I was there. How often I did that. Because then, of course, I had to stop myself like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. These days, achieving my health and wellness goals is more about making healthy habits that stick and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest takes care of the planning, prep, and cleanup by delivering my favorite veggie and fruit-packed options straight to my door. Yesterday, I had a sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl to open my window, then a great dinner with Chad later on, and then I had an apple and spiced oat bite to close. I'm going to have to start hiding those from Chad because he loves them too. Not really. The solution is simply order more. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories.
So it doesn't affect me at all now. But yeah, in the beginning, it wasn't hard. I won't say it was hard. I had to break that habit, definitely.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think a lot of us, when we're around small kids and they're snacking all the time, find ourselves just mindlessly eating either what they didn't eat or as they're having a snack, you're having a snack. So realizing that you don't need to have goldfish just because people are around you having goldfish is
exactly.
Huge, right?
Right. And now, of course, I mean, I don't even really like them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I could have a lot of things to choose from. One of them would not be goldfish. So, do you eat after they go home?
I usually open my window around 2, and it's typically some are still sleeping, maybe all. That's about the time that they kind of start waking up. I always break my fast with typically raw vegetables and a salad, maybe, or a salad, I should say. And I just started in the last month that whoever is having because my kiddos, when they wake up, I give them a snack. Whoever's sitting down eating a snack, I just sit down with them and I eat my vegetables. And it's got them to be very interested. And some of them are like, oh, can I, you know, they want a piece of broccoli. They want what I'm having. So I love that.
So tell us how you structure your eating window now.
I typically open my window between 2 and 3, probably 2:30. I have little ones waking up from nap, some sleeping, some waking up between 2 and 2:30. So, you know, when I get a second and have things status quo, like everybody has a snack, everybody's in a good spot, I'll usually try to already have a bowl of like peppers, broccoli, cucumbers, a bowl of raw veggies that I can snack on. And unfortunately, I haven't found, I love hummus, but if I don't have time to make it, I am still dipping like in ranch or something. But I figure at least, you know, I'm opening my window with some vegetables, and it really typically is a pretty big bowl. Sometimes I do a salad. I kind of get stuck on things. So I'll do a salad for a long time and then I'll switch to the vegetables. I'll carry that, whatever I'm eating in. I have like a little daycare room and the kids will all be eating snack and I sit down and eat with them. It's really been a good thing. The kids have seen me eating the vegetables and they are interested. And a lot of times, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, can I have that? Can I have some of that? And so that's kind of been a neat thing to see.
I love that. So you're modeling eating vegetables for the kids, which is, we definitely want them to eat more vegetables. So you said that you, if you don't have time to make the hummus, you don't eat hummus. So you don't like store-bought hummus?
I do, but I'm also, I try to be frugal where I can.
Yeah.
And I feel like hummus, yes, it's easy to make. And sometimes I do just give in and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have time and I want to have some, but I have everything here to make it. You know, I bought the tahini, right? Was it tahini?
Yeah,
I bought that. And it came in a two pack from Amazon and, you know, I have everything. So it's just me. And I prefer like the red pepper hummus. I love that.
Yeah. No, the reason I asked is I just wondered because I'm the same way. Once I started making it myself, it's so much easier to make it than it is.
Yeah.
And it's like so expensive to buy. Once you realize how easy it is to make, it is very, very expensive in comparison to making it yourself. So I totally get it.
Right. And you know, a package of hummus, it's expensive because really they're not that big. I don't even know how many ounces that is, but it's not. And if I'm eating a whole bowl of vegetables, I'm going to eat quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I do that every day. Yeah. So yeah. So I do like to make the hummus myself.
You know, you can get a can of organic chickpeas and make your own hummus. And it's organic, which of course is, you know, it's going to be really expensive if you're trying to buy organic hummus. And I can't even find organic hummus in our local grocery stores, but you can make it so much easier. Like there was a day not that long ago, I was like, I would really like to have some hummus, but I don't have any made. I could just run by the store. I'm like, that's so dumb. It would take me less time to make it than it would to run to the store.
Yes, yes.
I went home and made my hummus.
I did actually just Google this the other day, can you freeze hummus? But I think it said, I don't know, whatever it was, you can't freeze it for very long. So it's not like I could make a huge batch.
Yeah. I was like, freezing it, why is it going to last that long?
Right.
If I make one can of chickpeas and the hummus, it lasts me 2 days.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right. Yeah. It's such a great dip, you know, and it's healthy.
It is. So you open your window around somewhere in there around 2:30 with your good healthy snack. And then later you have a dinner with your family.
I do. And we still, because, you know, I'm the one cooking 95% of the time, we eat when I want to. So
love it.
So we still, my daycare kiddos get picked up by 4, the latest. I usually have something somewhat started, like at nap time, I'll get something so I don't have to cook the whole meal. I mean, we're normally eating by 5 and I'm done. I'm closing my window at 6. And I don't want to say that I'm not strict about it. I'm not. In August, it'll be 3 years fasting. So it's kind of been an evolved thing for, obviously, I know you know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm not strict about it. It's honestly the appetite correction that will stop me in my tracks because 4 hours is, if I'm just at home and it's a typical day, 4 hours is more than enough for me. I'm full. I can't eat any more food. At one point, I tried to start pushing my window back. Or well, just maybe not opening it so early because I was tempted to do some snacking in there. Even if it was healthy food, I would be full by the time dinner came around. Yeah. I have to keep it at least 4 hours or I don't feel like I can get enough healthy, like the nutrients. I can't eat enough food.
Yeah, that makes sense. So sometimes people get the mistaken idea that like the shorter the window, the better. And that's just, no, we don't want to just try to have the shortest window possible because, you know, it is hard to eat enough food for the day in a really short period of time.
Yeah.
It is for me, and I'm a volume eater. And so in 1 hour, very rarely is that going to be enough food. I mean, we went out to eat. Chad and I went out to eat one day last week to this really great Italian restaurant
And I probably had a 1 hour window that day and I was stuffed, but it was like, I was like more stuffed than I like to be.
Right. And that's my experience too. Like and sometimes I still do, if we're going to go out to eat, just wait and open my window at the restaurant if I know I can get a good salad, because I feel better if I open with healthy food. And that typically means vegetables for me. So like now I'll still eat my vegetables at home and then we go out to eat.
That's smart. That's what I should have done. I should have had a little snack, but I was like, well, we're going to go later. I'll just wait. And then I got there and I was so full.
Yeah.
Before we were done, yeah. It was just not enough of a window length. But, you know, so 4 hours is a good window for you. That feels like enough.
Yes.
You have long enough to get in what you need, but it's not so long that you feel like you're overeating.
Definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so you said it'll be 3 years in August. And you started and your goal was gut health.
Yes.
So were you wanting to lose weight?
I was hoping that maybe I'd lose a little bit. And it ended up being about 17 pounds. So I started probably at 147 and I'm 5'5". It's funny though, you know, the whole size thing. When I say 147, like I was wearing like a 6'8". Now yeah. I'm a 2'4", and I'm about, I stay between, like, I got down to 127 and I felt that was a little too thin. I felt a little, like almost gaunt a little bit. So now I'm typically like 130 to 133 in there.
Yeah. That's where my body seemed to settle back when I was still weighing. You know, I haven't weighed in years, but every time I got on that scale, I just wanted to see the 120s. Every time I got on, it was like 130.
I know. Because that kind of in my head, I had like 125 in my head. I don't know from when, high school maybe. But
yep.
Yeah, really just, I do still weigh, but because I know over the years that the times that I don't weigh are when I gain weight.
That makes sense. A lot of people find, you know, there's actually research on this. People who weigh are more likely to maintain. So I know I'm an anomaly of people out there.
Yeah. But I do have honesty pants now because of you.
Well, that's the main thing for me. And, you know, I went through my whole wardrobe recently, my spring wardrobe, and I got rid of a lot when we moved here in May. And I decided to go through it again. And I got rid of probably about a third of my clothes. I was like, if I have not worn them in the almost year since I've been here, I'm not going to wear this probably. So I got rid of about a third of it again, but I pulled on my honesty score. I don't wear it outside the house because it's just, you know, Chad does not like Lily Pulitzer.
It's too loud for him.
With the Lily. Yes, he just doesn't like it. And I got it at like a consignment shop and it was really cheap. So I was all excited. Everybody wore Lily Pulitzer.
Oh, yeah.
Pulitzer all around Augusta. But he's like, I hate that. And I'm like, well, if you hate it, I wonder if other people hate it. Maybe it's just not really me because I'm not really pink. I'm not a pink kind of girl.
Yeah.
But it's a size zero skort. And if I can zip it up, I know I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm not a size zero in everything Lily Pulitzer. Like, and I'm more of like a 2, even a 4. And like, there's some of their shorts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The skort is just, you know, but I have it and I keep pulling it out. And so as long as that skort fits, I know I'm
right,
okay.
Right, right. I have some dress pants. I think they're from, I think it's the Limited. I just know how I want those to look. And if like I got a little too much muffin top, if I look a little too fluffy, you know, I know, okay.
Yeah. Yep, time to rein it in a little bit.
Yes.
So how long did it take you to get down to the range where you are staying now?
Very quickly.
Because you didn't have a lot to lose. You got there quickly.
It happened very quickly, which tells me that probably a good part of that, I don't know how much, but I would say inflammation, you know, and possibly water retention, all of that attributed to some of it. Oh, I would say within a month, probably, easily.
Wow. So your body, and you had stuff going on in your digestive system as well.
So that is surprising. Yeah, that's surprising because it did have to heal that for sure. Or I don't know. Yeah, it was amazing. I just marvel at that about how, you know, and sometimes, and that's another reason that I keep my window closing at 6, unless there, you know, sometimes, you know, there's times we have things special going on, but because if I eat too late, I get a little hint of that back. I feel a little bit of that when I go to lay down at night. So I'm like, okay, you know.
That's a really good point. You know, my sister is not an intermittent faster, but she can't eat late at night for that reason. Yeah. She gets reflux.
Yep.
She can't eat a big meal and then go lay down. She has to give it time to get on down a little bit. So that makes sense. So anybody who's hearing this, if you have a late window and you're suffering from a little reflux or a little backup when you lay down, you might need to slightly adjust your window earlier.
Definitely, yeah. Helped.
Yeah, because that food can, it's like a mechanical thing. It presses up against the whatever right. The little flap is at the bottom of your esophagus.
Yeah, makes sense.
Probably a doctor's like cringing at my explanation, but you know what I mean. Just thinking about like a plumbing issue, yeah. Right? So you typically close by 6 and that makes sense. And so your family is happily eating at around 5 with you.
Yeah, I'm probably like a lot of families that, you know, I feel like I'm the captain of the ship in the house, yeah. You know, so I'm lucky. I mean, I make them a good dinner and they get what they want. I pretty much myself, I'm cleanish as well. I mean, I make a lot of home style stuff and I still use heavy cream and I use, you know, full fat things. We have good hearty dinners, but we always have vegetables, salads, but we eat bread a lot. And yeah. And I just,
Yep. You know, that's true for us, right? You know, I never want to give up things.
Right. Exactly. I did that forever. I found the South Beach diet back when my youngest boy was about 4 and a friend of mine, a good friend, lost so much weight on that. So of course I said, oh my gosh, let me see that. And then I kind of just tweaked it myself because at the same time, like low carb was kind of big where, you know, you do the cheeseburgers and that kind of stuff with no bun. So I just did my version of that. And I also, I don't remember how much I lost then. I don't know. Like my high has always been probably after babies, maybe like 152. I remember seeing one time, but I would say typically I was in the 140s, more like mid 40s or low. And so, but I lost quite a bit of weight at that time. Maybe same as that I did with when I first started fasting, maybe like, you know, 15 to 17 pounds, 20 pounds, something like that. But that was just so hard to maintain. But I did.
That's a very complicated way of eating.
Yes.
The South Beach diet, very complicated. I can remember having the book, but it was too complicated to figure out. Like you're supposed to combining things to start. I don't even remember what it was. I was like, I can't do this. And plus, that was also when I was only eating junk food and the standard American diet. So I think with the South Beach diet, you really needed to do a lot of cooking, didn't you?
A lot of cooking. And if you didn't want to do a lot of cooking, you resorted to salads and vegetables, you know, if you wanted to make it a little more simple and not have to cook. Yeah. So, but because I was successful with that, it always stuck in my head, even though I love carbs, who doesn't? I would always have, I think my initial email to you, I said I finally ate a cheeseburger with a bun and I didn't feel guilty and there was no repercussions from it. And it was just fine. And I just, you know, at whatever time I started fasting that day, I just started fasting again. And, you know, the next day came and I didn't eat a cheeseburger probably the next day, but I have them whenever I want them. And I have it with a bun. It's just so much freedom.
It really, really is. And like I said, I never want to give up things again. I did my 60-day whole food plant-based experiment and I felt great, but it was really hard.
Yeah.
I guess only if I like had like a private chef who like cooked for me every day and they could create amazing, delicious meals that were whole food plant-based, I would lean that direction. But other than that, no, give me my Green Chef meals and my other meals and let me just not have to avoid anything.
Right.
It's just too much work. I feel bad for people who have to avoid things for allergy purposes.
Oh, yeah.
Or like people with celiac. I feel really bad for people who must do it. Like we had friends in the family and their son was deathly allergic to eggs.
Oh, wow.
I know. And so I'm like, that's everything. Think about where eggs are and where they could be hidden and you don't even know. Like an egg wash on a bun.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I did, speaking of the whole 30, it's not quite the same, but I did do a kind of paleo / whole 30 before my husband and I got married in 2014. We're a blended family. So yeah, in 2014 when we got married. And that probably, because I've heard you say how good you felt on the whole, doing the whole 30, my body loved the paleo, really did, and loved all those just strictly real foods. I was making my salad dressing. I mean, everything was very clean. My body loved it, but I think I looked too thin. I'm not sure if I know what I weighed back then, but I feel like I looked too thin and didn't look as healthy.
Yeah. Now, I never did do whole 30.
No?
I never did it. No. So I'm trying to think what I was talking about because Whole30 was one of the ones that just seemed a little, because remember, I was the person who had the palate of an 18-year-old guy, yeah, or maybe a 15-year-old guy. Right. You know, I wanted to eat pizza rolls or whatever, right, you know, Pop-Tarts and French fries and drive-through McDonald's. So anything that was too much whole food before intermittent fasting, I couldn't eat that way. So I would like read it and I'd be like, I can't do that. I don't like to eat those foods. Now my palate is completely different. And I'm like, who was that childish person?
That's so funny. I did Weight Watchers one time too. And I know you never did Weight Watchers, did you?
Never did that one.
You know what? No. The Weight Watchers, when it was the points, this was back when, so it was when I hear you talk about doing low fat. So that was more of a low fat approach because I would use my points to eat Twizzlers licorice and things like that. Uh-huh. And I don't think I looked healthy then either. I did lose about the same amount of weight, but it was the same thing. I didn't really feel healthy and I wasn't eating healthy food at all. You know, just trying to get my points.
Funny that you mentioned Twizzlers because back when I was doing low fat, that was like the only time I ever ate Twizzlers. And during the low fat days, because they have zero fat. Yeah, fat free. So I do remember eating Twizzlers.
I did the snack wells too. Yeah.
So many snack wells. I mean, I had boxes of them. I mean, I really, looking back, it's like astonishing that I lost weight because that
The devil's food ones were my favorite.
Yeah, those are the ones that I would get too. The devil's food with the marshmallow and the chocolate.
And there wasn't that many in that box and they were expensive.
No, they were very expensive. Yeah. But no, I was just buying all the convenience food. So that was, if the diet couldn't be done with convenience foods, I wasn't going to be successful.
Yeah.
That was just the mindset I was in at that point. So I completely don't recognize that person anymore. Thank goodness. I could probably more likely do Whole30 now. At any other point, but I don't want to. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Whole30 is it's meant to be an elimination protocol,
which would probably really benefit everybody. You know, it's not easy to do for everybody, but yeah, it would be just like, you know, everybody would benefit from Zoe as well, which I haven't done, but I would like to.
Well, I just had an exciting day. I got to talk to Will, Dr. I don't know how to say his last name. Bolshewitz, I don't know. I probably just said it so wrong. He's the author of Fiber Fueled, and he's like their medical director for Zoe now or something. He's a gastroenterologist. Like I said, he wrote Fiber Fueled, but he's having a gut summit. And so he interviewed me right before I talked to you. So it was really, really great to talk to him. Yes. And he just finished reading Cleanish and Fast, Feast, Repeat. I mean, he read both of them prior to the interview. I'm like, that's a lot of reading that you did.
I know. Yeah.
But I've been a fan of his ever since I read Fiber Fueled. And so now it's funny. Now he's read my books. So that felt really good. But he's involved with Zoe.
I went through Cleanish too, and I've cleaned up everything I can. You know, beauty counter I use and cleaned up all the hand soaps, bath gel, skincare, you know, shampoo, all that stuff that I can. Now, is my whole family on board with that? No, but.
Oh, gosh, no. No, not even at the Stevens household because Chad is more ish than clean because he likes to save money. So I'm not criticizing him because, you know, he just got us a great deal on insurance because I was like, yeah, we'll just pay the insurance. He's like, oh, no, we need to look around. And he saved us thousands of dollars. So I can spend it on my beauty counter and he can go buy his Walmart, whatever.
I like to save money too, but you know, you really do. I feel like you do have to take the approach if you can't afford it to do what you can afford. And, you know, it's like paying up front instead of paying later for healthcare.
There's lots of affordable options out there now. You know, maybe beauty counter is not affordable for somebody who it's pricey. Of course, it lasts a long time and I love it, but I can understand. But there are options that are clean and less expensive. You don't have to spend a ton of money.
I truly think Branch Basics is cheaper.
I think so too. Honestly, because I used to buy whatever I used to use. I really think Branch Basics saves money.
It saves money and you're not having to like write that grocery list out and go buy all those different cleaning products. And there's just so much. And the laundry, you know? Yeah. And in my hand soaps,
so I use easy. And it takes up less.
Yeah. Hand soaps like Bastille soap. Have you ever seen that? That's, I got a huge jug of that. Yeah. I don't even remember. That was super cheap on Amazon and filled all my hand soaps. Yeah.
Yep. So it doesn't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be hard. And I'm glad that you switched things over and you didn't let it intimidate you because that's one thing about Cleanish. Some of the early feedback, people reading it were like, now I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to do anything.
I do think probably the most pricey thing I've done is the beauty counter. But I'm like, I mean, when I heard you say, and I read in the book, you're literally putting this on your skin, people. It's kind of important.
That's what sold me on it, is just once you realize that your skin is your largest organ and what you put on your skin gets into your body.
And I mean, I just had to bite the bullet.
Would not
with that.
Want to eat. Yeah, exactly. And it lasts a really long time.
Oh my gosh, so long.
That's the thing. Yeah, you know, I'm still using, like, the foundation that I'm using has been lasting me forever.
Yeah. And I use the cleansing oil I love. And I mean, that is a huge, huge bottle. You know, and I've had that for, I don't know, 14 months, and I'm only a third of the way through it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you were able to make those transitions. Did you make any changes to the foods in your house or no?
I definitely try to buy organic when I can, definitely. And that would probably be the biggest, organic, non-GMO.
And again, that can be really affordable. Chad finds great things at I think Aldi.
Oh yeah, I go to Aldi too.
I have an Aldi.
I go quite a bit.
Aldi, I don't know how to say it. He finds all sorts of things at Aldi. Like organic eggs, I think were cheaper than the regular eggs for some strange reason.
I think they're pretty pricey here, but you know, I still do it.
Oh, I think they were pricey. I think eggs are crazy pricey everywhere, but like organic ones were less expensive than the regular.
Right. I feed my dogs all, they eat raw. So it's important for them to have organic eggs too, because they're eating it raw. You know, I'm not even cooking it to kill anything. So So we do all, and anything organic that I can buy, I do.
Yeah. Same with me, but you're not going to stress out if you're eating something that's not organic.
Right. Definitely.
That's really important. So what kind of exercise do you do? What's your workout regimen? Anything at all?
I used to be a crazy, crazy fitness person back in the day, but not anymore. I mean, I'm pretty much just very active in what I do every day.
Right.
It's just taking care of the kids and up and down the steps. And, you know, I feel like I'm just busy that way and just active. And then walking my dogs as soon as 4 o'clock comes and kids get picked up, I'm taking one of my dogs I train with a lot and we go to the park and, you know, it's kind of just go, go, go. And when I finally sit down at night, I'm usually nodding off.
Oh yeah, I totally get that. But yeah, picking up all those babies all day long is a lot of exercise. Absolutely. And I think taking a walk is maybe underappreciated by a lot of people. It's really good for us.
Right. I don't know. I won't say never, but I don't see myself being a gym rat ever again. I did do that. It seems like a different lifetime ago, but I have more important things to do, you know, at this point with my spare time.
I get it. I almost hate to even say I haven't been to water aerobics since September. After I like went so regularly all the time, I am not good at getting to a place to do something.
I know.
Something.
If I'm going to do it, it's going to have to be something I do at home for sure. Yeah.
Yep. When we moved over to the beach house full time, it's not in the same neighborhood as the water aerobics. That was the last time I went to water aerobics. So what I cannot do is get up and drive over here. It's not that far, but it just seems like too much. So beach walking, and I've just started doing Pilates videos.
Okay. And see,
have you ever done Pilates?
I have done those videos also, not recently, but that's something I could see myself doing for sure. For sure. And my family does, we do like to hike and do things like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I love moving my body outside. But yeah, I used to do Pilates back in the day. I would go to the Y in Augusta and do Pilates, but it was right before I was writing Fast, Feast, Repeat. And that's what, it's always something. Like I get in a routine of doing it and then I stop and I never go back.
Oh, well, that's me too. Yeah.
But that was me with Pilates. And it was when I was getting ready to write Fast, Feast, Repeat. I was like, I don't have time to come do Pilates at 11 o'clock because I have to write Fast, Feast, Repeat every day now. So that's what happened. And then I never went back. But doing it at home is working out really well.
I'm willing to do anything that I can incorporate in my life. And I'm just, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to have, I used to be a runner years ago, which I feel like I paid for that. You know, those joints and hitting that pavement, I paid for that. I still have a little bit of pain in the bottom, like in the arches of my feet at times and my ankles. Oh. It's getting better since fasting is definitely helping that. I don't know. I want to just incorporate it in my everyday life. I don't want to set up like, now I'm going to go work out. I don't see that happening in my near future.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I just know myself. I've never been able to stick to anything that I have to go somewhere and do. I've been using my vibration plate consistently for years.
Well, I do have a vibration plate. Yeah, I do that. Yep.
I love that. And as long as my rebounder is somewhere that I practically have to trip over it, I will use it. I've got it in my living room here at this house right now, and I'll jump on it a little bit. But I just am not going to go somewhere and do anything. So you're here telling everybody about intermittent fasting. Do you share in your regular life?
I do. I think I'm going to post something. I might share this video and then, you know, share the podcast and put it on social media, because I meant to post something around my second year anniversary and then I just didn't. I don't know what was going on. So either one of my three year comes up, I may share it, or now. I mean, people close to me all know for sure. If I ever see like somebody that my husband actually works with him, but I knew him also years ago before from another way, he had posted, I think he possibly had a heart attack or some kind of heart event. And he said, I'm going to have to lose this weight. And I don't remember now if he was asking for suggestions or I just took it upon myself, but I did private message him and sent him the link to your books and he got them. And last time I talked to him, he was down, or actually he posted, I think he was down maybe 40 pounds and doing great fasting.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I have a dear friend who just was telling me about her same kind of issues that I had with stomach issues. And I said, I just am not a bossy, pushy person. There has to be an opening. I'm not going to be like, oh, guess what? You should, you know. So
I get it.
Yeah. I said, oh my gosh, I used to suffer from that also. But whatever I said made it clear that I did not, now I don't have problems anymore. And so she said, well, what did you do? How did you get that to stop? What did you do? And so then I told her, and she ordered the book on her Kindle, she said immediately. But then, which I did this too, I asked the people who I knew that were fasting that contacted me on Facebook. She immediately started saying, well, what about this? What about sweeteners? And I said, oh, I was the sweetener queen. No, you cannot have sweeteners. And then she'd say, what about fruit? And I finally said, Trudy, you can have anything you want in your eating window. So that's where we left it.
Yeah.
And I think she's doing 16-8. And she said, I think she's 74. And she said, I know. She's so cute. Because I said, you probably don't care about this, but you may actually lose a little bit of weight too. And she said, oh, maybe 3 pounds is all I want to lose, because you know, when you get older like me, that just makes you look gaunt. I'll just have more wrinkles. So it was so cute. But she said, I'll probably stick with 16-8 for a while because it's so doable. You know, I just encouraged her.
Yeah.
Her stomach has been better. So
I love that. And yep, I was actually, when I was talking to Dr. B earlier for his summit, he was talking about his next book that he's working on, his next project. And he was talking about some gut things because he's a gastroenterologist. And I'm like, well, let me just tell you this. I've talked to a lot of people on intermittent fasting stories with Crohn's and IBS and other, like yours was unspecified,
right,
whatever your issue was. But so many people tell me that they feel better with intermittent fasting. So you may want to pop that in there in your book as a suggestion, a little gut rest.
Oh, and my mom fasts also. She started not too long after me. And I think she still does. I don't think she's ever moved from a 16-8, but you know, that's okay. You know, she really wanted to do it for the health benefits. And I don't think she lost any weight. She does look smaller to me, so she may have some body recomposition going on, but I just want her to do it. So no criticizing from me.
that makes sense. And that's just like with Chad, for example, you know, a loose 16-8 is all that he does. And if your only goal is health benefits and you're not trying to lose weight, that's a great approach.
It's funny because I think of Chad sometimes, like a lot of other guests say, my husband will say, gosh, I didn't eat today until lunch, so I'm pretty much fasting too. Like, well, what about that cream in your coffee this morning and then that energy drink you had at work? What about that? Yeah.
So close.
I'm not a controlling person, I don't think, in my life. But when it comes to my family and their diets, I really have to like just take a moment because I hate that he drinks the energy drinks. You know, all those things. But, you know, I got to let it go.
Yeah. I get it. I get it because they're going to do what they're going to do. And if you're trying to nag them about it, they'll just hide it and resent it.
And I'm not a nag. I don't want to ever be that person.
Me neither.
Do what you do.
No. Yeah. I don't like nagging. Never helps.
When you're having issues, you come to me and then we'll let you figure that out on your own. That, oh, could it be this? You know?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's right. You can make a gentle suggestion and then walk away.
Exactly.
That's the best thing. So is there anything that you struggle with?
You know, I'm a very routine person and I do wish, I mean, that sounds silly to say I wish because I can do it. I'm in control of it. I wish that I was a little more flexible on my window because I know that's a good thing. I wish that, you know, I could maybe on the weekends just wait to open my window later or somehow move it around a little bit just to have some, because I know that's good. You know, I know my body probably is so used to that and it would be good to mix it up, but it just, I don't know, just my routine personality, I don't do that typically.
Well, you know, I'm going to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? You're not trying to lose more weight. You're not trying to get past a plateau. You have reached homeostasis.
Yeah.
A point where what you're doing in equals out, you're at a balance point with your body and you're happy. Yeah. So I don't think, you know, needing to switch it up just for the sake of switching it up is important. I really don't. It's only like if you were like, well, I'm at a plateau and I still need to lose 20 pounds, then it would be a different story. But, you know, I'm very nowadays more consistent than not. Just because of my schedule and my routine, just because very similar to you. When I open, it's similar kind of a time, maybe a little later some days, but it's still always grouped around that same period of the day, unless people are in town visiting.
Sure, sure. And you know, things come up like that for us too. But other than that, currently, I'm not struggling with any food choices. You know, it's been a process during this 2.5 years, almost three. I would say that I'm probably a sugar addict. I mean, I love the gummy candy, not chocolate. I mean, I will eat chocolate, but it was always the gummy stuff, that like Swedish fish, like those kind of gummy things that I love. And it was almost like, as long as there was none here and I didn't eat any, I didn't want it. But once I started, then it was like something that I would crave almost a daily basis, you know, if I had it. I haven't had anything like that in a long time now. And I feel like maybe I'm finally getting to, you know, a point where my tastes really have changed. I would and it is hard for me to find something sweet because I like to have something sweet at the end of the day. I've tried your dates. They're okay. Not totally. Well, I don't like peanut butter, so I've tried it with almond butter.
I just mainly eat them plain now. I don't put anything on it. I just eat them.
Really?
Yeah. They taste caramel, like I'm having a caramel or something.
Well, I may have to try it again. I saw some today when I was at the grocery store and I thought about it. I've been making like my own trail mix.
Yeah.
Just with some dried fruit and different nuts and things. And sometimes I'll just do oatmeal. Just make not steel cut oats, but what am I thinking? Like old fashioned oats. And it doesn't take much, you know, some cinnamon, a little bit of honey.
Yum.
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Like that.
Yeah. I do love oats. Anything with oats. So
me
good.
Me too. But I don't really want that, whatever that is that I eat, that treat to be something unhealthy if I can help it.
That makes sense. Maybe because there's so many delicious, healthy things we can eat. That's the thing. I've gotten to the point like you, where I feel a little bit like a food snob. If I'm going to eat something delicious, it can be delicious and good for me.
Yeah, right. I mean, we'll say like the way my tastes have evolved up to last year, I would probably grab like a Little Debbie snack cake. You know what those are? Like Swiss rolls or something. And now I would not dream of eating that. I wouldn't eat that.
Sweets have never been my downfall as much.
Yeah, you're the salty person, are you?
I'm the salty person, yeah. Like, if somebody tried to make me eat a little Debbie cake, I would be like, no.
Yeah.
They've never been my favorite.
And I do like to bake, but I mean, I fall into that trap too. If I make something delicious and homemade, well, then I'm going to want to eat that every night till it's gone. Which, I mean, if I do it, I do it. I don't deprive myself. And I do eat a lot of fruit. But the fruit's, it's good and it's sweet, but it's still just not that thing I'm looking for.
Doesn't quite do it.
Yeah,
I get it. So. I get it. For me, it's something creamy. I like to have a little something creamy.
Oh, yeah. I could see that too. But sometimes a good piece of Ezekiel bread.
Yeah.
And I'll do butter. I'll toast it and then butter. And Aldi's has organic. It's like Simply Fruit. The blueberry is really good. Yeah, just something like that.
Chad buys that. Now, have you ever bought the cinnamon raisin Ezekiel bread?
I haven't. I don't know if I've seen
it. Well, this is going to change your life then. You need to get, because you were wanting to have a little something sweet.
Yeah.
Get the raisin Ezekiel bread.
Oh.
It is so good and lasts forever once you put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I actually opened my window with that yesterday because I was over at this house. There was nothing else here. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have some of this bread. I think it's still good. And it was. But it's the cinnamon. And you don't need to add anything to it. And you just – I put a little butter on there. So I toasted it in the toaster, put the little butter on there, had two pieces of that, and then a few peanuts. And – so good. Now, if it was regular raisin bread, I think it might give me a little crash later, but the Ezekiel bread never gives me a crash.
Oh.
So try, they also make English muffins, the raisin English muffins.
Oh, I think I would like all of that. I'll have to look for for sure.
All right. So anyway, I'm a big fan. Ezekiel bread. And when I was wearing my CGM, the Ezekiel bread doesn't give me the big spike that other things do. So yeah. Go give that a try and then email me and tell me what you think.
I will. I will. And you know, something else that has changed and has evolved is I was never a huge drinker, but I would have maybe a glass of wine or some kind of drink on a Friday or Saturday night with my husband, or sometimes even a Thursday. I would joke, oh, it's Thursday now, the new Friday. But I don't do that anymore because I want to close my window.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Just not worth it.
It's too early. It's early. Yeah. You're closing at 6. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I know this is hard, especially if somebody really has a lot of weight to lose. But I think it's so important to, like so many have said before me, trust the process and research autophagy and just think about so that you know, okay, I may have only lost a half a pound in 2 weeks, but there's something going on in there. You know, it's doing something for me.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right.
Stick with it. There's never a reason to quit. You should not quit because, you know, you're going to get there.
Exactly. There's a tweak. There is a tweak that will help you with weight loss, but stopping intermittent fasting is not going to be the tweak.
Right.
Make it work with the intermittent fasting. Well, thank you so much, Terry. I've loved talking to you today.
Oh, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's G-I-N at intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I am not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. We'll be right back.
Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.